Perek Yudalid Pasik Zayin. Okay, so Eve is continuing to complain that it's not fair that he should suffer because he doesn't have much time left in this world, and when he leaves this world, he's not coming back. It's a one-way trip. It's a one-way trip to the next world. There's no such thing, at least in his opinion at this point, of Tchiyas HaMeisim. He's coming here to to deny it. It's not clear that he ever was aware that there was something called Tchiyas HaMeisim. And he says, to review Pasik Vav. Pasik Vav said, She'ei Me'olav, which review what we learned yesterday, She'ei Me'olav, we learned Hoser. Hashem Elohim is the Yetzik HaKadosh Baruch Hu, may you remove your hand from upon me, may I from upon that person, the Yechdol, and cease from causing him to suffer, and Yirtze, until his time comes, until his end comes, and then when his end will come, then he'll want to die. Okay, this we discussed yesterday, until a person's time is over. Why? Pasuk Zayin is really a continuation. Ki yesh le'etz tikva. Man is worse than a tree. Because at least a tree, ki yesh le'etz tikva. A tree at least has hope. Maybe something.
That's Hazara on 78.
Gang, don't remember the 78.
78 records, the records.
You had no record.
You're talking about the.
I
You only know DVDs and.
MP3s.
He doesn't even remember the. What was it?
The A-track.
The A-track.
Kiesh Leitz Tikva, at least the tree has hope. Im Yukaris, if a tree will be cut down, if the majority of a tree is cut down, the od yachlif, but surely thereafter it renews itself. If a person takes a tree and he cuts the tree down, there's always hope for the tree to renew itself. The yoinaktoi, and its branches, yoinaktoi means its young branches, lo sechto, will not cease to exist. In other words, a tree can suffer an enormous blow, but as long as the roots are still attached to the ground, there's hope that new shoots will grow from at least part of the tree. Whereas a human being, when he is cut down, he will never come back. There's nothing that will ever come from the human being again. So, you're making a very good point, but according to Eov, Eov is saying we're focusing on the person himself. That each person is only responsible for themselves. Even though it's true, we do appreciate that there is something in Yadus where the zechusim of a father transfers to the children, so like, there are such ideas like that. But on a very simple level, a person receives reward and punishment for his own sins. Each person is their own man. We don't take into consideration the children with regard to the father and vice versa. So here he says that a tree has more hope than a human being. Pasuk Zayin. Let's take a look at the Mesudos David. Pasuk Zayin. Ki yesh la'esh tikva. Haloi. Ha'adam hu noifel. When a person who noifel the gerua me'etz hasod. The person is lower and two different words. Worse off than an etz hasod. Ki la'esh. It's at least for a tree, yesh tikva lachzor lekadmuso afim yikares od yachlif lechadesh anafim achedim to mood awesome. Because if a tree is cut down, so there's hope that it will renew itself by producing new branches to replace the old branches. Because the tree is attached to the ground.
The kids are not coming out of it.
V'lo yufsak mimenu, and it will not cease from the tree fresh new branches. You can cut down some branches, new branches will continue to flourish from the tree. But a human being, we'll see the next pasuk, but miyaskin ba'aretz, but if a person... To describe the tree, im yaskin. But let's take a step back. I want to clarify the pasuk zayin. The yonakto, it means a branch. Look in the mitzudos sion. It's a difference. It's not the usual way it's used. The yonakto anof of harachim, the soft branches. So if it's going to be the whole pasuk again, ki yesh lo eish lo eitz tikva. For a tree there is hope. In yikares, if the tree will be cut down, the yod yachlif, it will renew. It will refresh itself. off, v'yoynaktoi, and its fresh, young branches, new branches, lo sechto, will not cease. It will, it's guaranteed to produce new branches. And notice, Mepharshim point out that we know the famous pasuk in the Torah, ki ha'odam eitz hasada. A person indeed is a tree. So the pasuk in the Torah contradicts. Adrabah, you can learn everything Eov says. You can learn the opposite. That Eov was wrong. Obviously, there is something called Trias HaMesem, and Adrabah, a person is just like a tree. So we really want to understand the concept of Trias HaMesem. We have here in Sefer Eov an incredible Marim Makom to expand upon what exactly will happen to Trias HaMesem. A person is as if he has always, his neshama is always keilu, it's rooted in the earth. And even when the guf is temporarily cut down, doesn't make a difference. A person can rejuvenate, can come back, can regrow. What? Well, no, not Gilgulim. That's, we're not into Kabbalah. I'm not into, we don't, not into Yerba Gilgulim. That's already, we don't know. This is very interesting, the difference of the generation. When I grew up, we never ever heard this concept called Gilgulim. It was like, we didn't even know what it meant. It was never ever discussed. Today, it's out in the open. People, they give drashas. I once went to a Tisha B'Av. I was shocked. The rabbi got up and he spoke for over an hour about everything in this world can be explained if we believe in Gilgulim. And I was shocked. Like, the audience here is not an audience, a Hasidish audience. You know, they're dealing with very ordinary, down-to-earth people. And years ago, no one would dare talk like that and tell you the way you could understand Tzadik V'ra'lo, Rosh V'tovlo, is through belief in Gilgulim. That we're just over here. Isn't this really what Scientology is about? This religion that's always in the news. Yeah. Different actors.
No, we have to ask
like that. So that's a terrible thing. That's not the Yadus to go and believe that that becomes the. It's an interesting concept. You can put it on a back burner. You want to learn a little in Yoni Kabbalah, but it's not something you can live in a practical way. Practical way, you have to have emunah pshuta. There are things that we don't understand. Tzadik v'ra'lo, Rosh Hashanah is the age old question. There is no answer to the question. It's just pure. Out of pure faith. I was just shocked, and I just walked away so surprised. And I said to myself, this is thing, it's like this is not real Yadus. Who am I to say? This person is a very popular speaker. Maybe that's why he's popular. You look for solutions for problems that have no solutions, you're going to find an audience. But here we're talking about, it's a very interesting idea, I think Ashraf develops upon this, is that here Eov is denying Trias HaMesem. And the way he denies Trias HaMesem is giving a mashal, explaining that man is worse than a tree. A tree has Trias HaMesem. If the branch is cut down, a new branch can take its place. But man is not like that. But the truth is, he's wrong. There is Trias HaMesem. And the example that he is given as a mashal is exactly the example that the Torah gives to compare a human being. Ki ha'adam eitz hasadeh. So if we indeed want to focus on the nature of Trias HaMesem, it's a very good starting point to study trees and study how they can rejuvenate for us to relate to in a spiritual sense how Trias HaMesem works. Okay, let's go further. Now we go to Pasuk Ches. He continues this theme. In Yaskin Ba'aretz Sharsho, if the root has aged, even if the tree is very, very old, it's very old and the roots are in the earth, and they're extremely old, Uve Ofar Yomus Gizo, and in earth its trunk has dried up, don't worry, it doesn't matter. As long as there is something still in the ground, there's something there, Pasuk Tes, Mereach Mayim Yafriach. Even if there's no water, even a mist, the fragrance of Mayim, which I'm translating here loosely as a mist, will be enough chiyus, enough moisture to cause the tree to regenerate. The asak katsir, it will produce katsir, meaning in this context, katsir, the way it's a, the katsir means harvest. But the way the Mitzudos Tzion translates word katsir means onof, a branch. K'moy tishalach kitzir, it will send forth its branches in its tehillim. It will produce branches. K'mo nota. Nota means a plant. And this context, it means it's as if it was been planted from long ago. Once the tree regenerates and you look at it, you would never know that this tree has now grown only 5 days ago. You think this tree has been around for 1,000 years, because that's the nature of trees. A tree, when it dries up and the roots are in the ground, it doesn't take much for it to regenerate, and you'd never know that there was a tkufa when it was dead. Let's take a look at the mitzudos.
Looks like it's a...
Okay, the different interpretation. Let's see how the Mitzvah translates. Could be right. My whole mind is mixed up, because I look here and there in the Rav Schwab, in the Malbim's English parish, and I look some whatever I have time for on the page, looking at the Farshim, and sometimes I see different ideas, and they all sort of get all smished in my head, and I say those things that don't necessarily make sense or are inconsistent with what I said before. Let's take a look at what it says in the Mitzvah, see on the Pasik Ches. Pasik Ches im Yaskin, af in Yaskin Sharosha Baretz, even if the root of the tree becomes old in the earth, Achlo Yeshaboy Lachluchas, to the point where there is no longer moisture, and we would expect the tree to die and wither, Ida Uva Ofar Vigoimer, Kofal Hadavar Bimilo Shainois, it doesn't matter. Even if it dies, its trunk dies in the earth, it's buried in the earth, doesn't matter. Meireach Mayim, Mikomokam, Kishayovoy Olov Me Atmayim, a small amount of water. Umiyad kishayareach es hamayim, when the tree smells. Here it's telling us a fascinating concept, that a tree has the koyach of reach. Isn't that an amazing thing? Who would ever think such? Who would ever say such things? I don't know if there's such any.
Literal or?
I don't know. There is this. The Sefer Yiv was written up in Ruach HaKodesh, and there, it's not. It's very a lot of things that. It's an idea. I don't know if scientifically it's true. It is such a concept where a tree has something that is equivalent to the koyach of reach, a fragrance that we would say about a human being. It's okay. It's, of course, on a very simple level, it's just a metaphor. It's just a poetic expression to describe.
It has sensory ability, but we don't know.
So what exactly is the sense? So there are studies that palm trees, they talk to each other. There are male palm trees, there are female palm trees, and they move and they sense each other. There is such a thing to it. There is a lot more sophistication and, to some degree, intellect in the, what we call tzomeach, that we are aware of. We are used to the concept is a doimim. There's the earth, rocks, and then the second level is tzomeach. There are things that are alive, that sprout. The third level of Bria is Chai, the animal world. And then there is the Medaber, the human being. We believe that among the Doimim and the Tzameach, there's absolutely no intelligence. There's no degree of Mada, of intelligence. But that's not necessarily so, at least not the way that we know it. Look, they always talk about whales and dolphins, that they have a very degree great of sophistication. Elephants. That's well documented. They have a very complicated language, elephants, and they understand, so they have songs, and they have a very complicated language. So who are we to say that when it comes to trees, and when it comes to the tzonech category of the Bria, that there is some degree of intelligence that we are not familiar with? There are some very powerful words, and these words we have emunah is aruch hakodesh, and it says something mereach mayim yafrich, just from the reach. Getting poetically, it means you sprinkle a little bit of water, but it could be there's more to it. Okay, let's go further. Mereach mayim makom makom kishayavoy lov mat mayim umiyad kishayreach asamayim yachsa v'yifrach v'yigdalonov kiilu not ozem mikorov. It's as if it was planted recently, as you mentioned. As if it was planted recently, as soon as it picks up some moisture, it begins to grow, and right away it blossoms and it's fresh. It's a fresh item. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi, we don't have to do the Rashi. These two soon go back to Pasuk Zayin and Rashi. Kiyesh le'es tikva. He's coming to complain. that a human being is worse than a tree, because at least a tree has the potential to shayachalif, it can rejuvenate, viyoinaktoi, asher migizoi, and its branches that blossom from its trunk, loisechtal mihiyois anof, will not cease from becoming branches. New branches continuously blossom from the trunk, the osa kotsir, and it produces branches. He yoinekes. This is the branch. A kotsir is another word for a yoinekes. Yoinekes means a branch. Tishalach, the same passage that was quoted by Kitzirach Adiyam, it sends forth its branches until the sea. The same thing that we said before. Obey means a root. I'm not sure. Tishalach.
To nurse.
It could be means its root.
Small.
It means a branch. I think over here it means. He disagrees. I believe he means over here. It means a root. Rashi appears to be saying that the word kotsir is another. It's not your average word. Here it says it means a root, that the tree sends forth new roots. It strengthens itself by replenishing the roots itself. He yoinekes. Yoinekes means to nurse. The item which the tree used to nurse. K'moy tishalach kitzirecha ad yom. It sends forth its roots until the sea, where is the place of water. Nota, shem davahu, this is a noun. Betam havaroso, and we put its mila el, the accent of its pronunciation, lemala, means the beginning of the word nota binun vininkoid kuloi komats nota double comma kuloi komats. Now we don't have that in our, but we have a pasuk nota with a patach underneath the test. So I'm not.
There's neta revai, which is in the noun form.
Neta, that's in the neta revai. Okay, here it's the end of the pasuk. Over here it's saying here it's a noun. Here this is a noun. Shame davahu, it's a noun. V'tam havaraso l'mal l'binun. And the accent is on the nun. The ninkoid and the vowel kuloi komatz. Now he says here kuloi, I'm not sure if what he means, that he has a different tradition, that it should be noto, or he means kulo means the entire nun, meaning just the first letter. Kulo is just a fit.
Because he's saying it's a self-possible.
Yeah, but we have it in our edition, kamo nota, nota. So does that mean the Rashi had a different version of the word, the way it's pronounced? I don't know. The ninkoid kuloi komats, the bneishu soif pasuk, af mi gizras, but it's from the root of the word neta. Or
that's why it's a comment.
Because it's the end of the word. It's the end of the sentence. Anytime you end the sentence, yeah, like we had yesterday.
Be neta. Instead, it's
neta. Yeah. Neta. Normally it would be neta. Neta means a plant. A neta, something that is planted, being that it's the end of the pasuk, so we pronounce it nota. Very common. Bias, boyis, anything that comes at the end of the pasuk, even in a snachta at times, is always not. A snachta is very complicated. Sometimes yes, sometimes not. Depends on many factors. But here it's the end of the pasuk, so he says it should be written nota. Now again, I do not know what he means here when it says kuloi. Either kuloi means a double comments, or it means over here.
I think what Michael said is right.
Yeah.
Change from neta to
not. Right. Neta, because it's a pasuk, exactly what he says. Right. That's what he says in fair. Shu mibne shu soif pasuk.
It's neta.
No.
So what does kulay mean? That's a question.
No, but in this pasuk, how do we? Meirech maim yafriach v'osa kotsir kumo nota. So what does it mean when he says, when Rashi had his addition, it's not like Rashi had the kudos. V'ninkoid kulay komats. What does it mean, kulay komats? What does he mean? Does that mean that the way we should pronounce it, v'osa kotsir kumo noto? Is that what he means? Or he means, the way we have it, kumo nota. And when he says kuloi, that's just a way of writing. That's a way of explaining the nun. The nun, that the entire essence of this nun, in this context, is a komatz, not a segel. Or
I think he just differentiated between the verb form.
Okay, fine.
Instead of nota, it's nota.
Okay, so this tree, now that it has spread forth its roots, it has absorbed a small amount of water, it has been rejuvenated, it's sending forth new branches according to the Mitzudos, it's sending forth new roots according to Rashi, and it's a new sapling. It's been renewed, it's been refreshed. But a human being, going to the next pasuk, the Gever, what is the contrast to this tree, according to Eov, who's telling us that there is no mashal of Ha'adam Eitz Hasada, the Gever, Yomus, but man dies, vayechelosh, and becomes weak, vayigva, perish, vayigva, Adam dies, v'ayo. Now there's a very big problem in this pasuk, because the word Yomus in our vocabulary means dead, right? That's how we translate. Now once a person is dead, there's no more yechelosh. There's no more becoming weak, and there's no more perishing. So I sort of Schwab wants to explain that when it says here the word Yomus, it does not mean death; it means the process of dying. It's a verb. The Gever, a human being, Yomus, man, from the moment he's born, has already begun the process of death, and as this process comes to an end, as he gets older and older, vayechelosh, he becomes weak, vayigva, he perish, vayigva adam, vayoy, and he, where is he? One man says to his friend, ayoy, like that's what Yisrael said to Tzipora, vayoy, where is Moshe Rabbeinu? Kiren lo v'yochal lechem. What happened? He disappears. So the word Yomus will work with that. Yomus does not mean he's dead as a noun, I guess. Death, it means a verb. A man, from the moment he's born, begins the process of death. It's a continuous process. And then as he gets older, the process becomes more apparent. When man becomes weak, when he's young, a person, you don't detect that a person is in the process of dying. Because when a baby is born, he's getting larger and larger. He's getting bigger and bigger. He's developing. So one would not look at a child as a human being who is in the process of dying. But he is. Because every person has a biological clock. And every person, the moment he's born, is in the process of dying. It's just that when he gets old, it becomes apparent when he's vayechlosh, and then when he gets very old, vayigva, he actually perishes. Adam ve'ayo, and then one man says to his fellow, what happened to this poor fellow? Where did he go? He disappeared. He no longer exists.
From the moment of birth, you're dying?
Yeah, that's what he's saying. That's what Rav Schwab says. A person has a biological life. That you're living, but man is destined to die. Man, from the moment he's born, it's a one way street. The clock is ticking.
How is the tree different? That tree is the same cycle. As soon as the tree is born,
it's a cycle for sure.
I guess what he means to say, because right, we know that trees don't live forever. We know that a tree, I don't know the details, but the tree, 100 years, 200 years, the trees that in this neighborhood, right? You look at a tree in this neighborhood, a big gazunta tree, before a big storm comes along and wipes it out. How old are some of these trees are 100 years old. So I think what he means relative to man, he's talking about that a human being relative to a tree, or a tree relative to man, lives forever. And if a branch comes down from a tree, so a couple of years later, a new branch comes. The tree will outlive a human being. A human being lives 70 years. A tree, let's say a tree lives, make-believe lives 200 years. So when a person comes into this world, the tree was there. And when the person leaves this world, the tree is also there. The same tree was there from beginning to end, assuming that you're coming in at a time when the tree was young. And during a man's lifetime, he takes note that when a branch falls off a tree, big deal. Next year, there's a new branch which comes and takes its place. The gardener every single year has to come and trim the branches because the branches continue to begin to grow. So when man looks at a tree from his perspective, the tree lives forever and the tree is always in the process of tchias hanesin because its branches are recycled. Whereas a human being comes and goes, and if Rachmana Lassan, a person loses a limb or a person dies, something goes wrong, he doesn't regenerate, he's gone. It's just a mushel. Of course, the tree doesn't live forever. Unless you go to Arizona or you go to California, they have their trees. They claim they are 1,000 years old. They have rings.
California redwoods.
So how old are those trees?
They were about 1,000.
More than 1,000.
A few hundred years old.
Sure. Sure.
So that's so that's a tzomeach. It's a fascinating. So that's an example. It's all relative to the mashal that he's giving.
Do we assume that Yov is aware of the Adam Eitz HaSodeh concept?
Ki ha'adam, no, that's exactly the point I'm making. That's exactly what Rav Schwab says. He's coming to deny that. That's exactly what Rav Schwab says.
We're not aware of the Torah's principle.
Well, he's denying Trias HaMeisim. Trias HaMeisim is a principle in the Torah in at least four places.
So we have to assume he's not...
He's not aware of it. I mean, it's subject to interpretation. To how you want to learn. Eev either was a non-Jew, or Eev was aware, and he's coming to be a kofer at this point in time, and his frustration of the tzad that he's going through. And he's taking this principle, ki ha'adam eitz ha'sadeh, and he's saying it's not true. And what's the advantage? That's exactly the point. What's the advantage? By him giving a mashal and saying that a human being does not have tchias ha'meisim, whereas a tree does have tchias ha'meisim, so we who are on the other side of this argument and are aware that there is tchias ha'meisim, and we're also aware that ki ha'adam eitz ha'sadeh, we are able to study and analyze the concepts of tchias ha'meisim from a tree. Is exactly the point. So we're in the dark. What is tchias ha'meisim all about? It's a mystical concept. So the answer is study trees. Go take a couple of courses on botany. Is that the right word for it?
Botany.
And then you will learn all about tchias ha'meisim, because here is a mare mokoyim to tchias ha'meisim. Exactly what Eev says is not tchias ha'meisim, is tchias ha'meisim. So there lies the secrets to tchias ha'meisim.
So what is his point? Eev's point is that man is limited time, and if I don't get it now, I'll
never get it. So why are you causing me to suffer? Why, like we learned yesterday, the death is the punishment itself. It's enough of a punishment. Since there is no afterlife, there's nothing more to look forward to. If I've sinned, so this is the fact that I'm going to die. I should satisfy you, Hashem.
No relative punishment.
Right, there shouldn't be. That itself is the punishment. The fact that I'm going to die is a good enough punishment. And there's no need I should suffer in this world as well. Let's go to the next word. Let's take a look at the mitzvah's pasuk yud. The gever, aval gever kasher yamos haloy meod nechlash. When man, now I told you the word yamos is a verb. Process of dying, as Rav Schwab, because Rav Schwab is really on the mark. It can't mean death, because once there's death, it doesn't make sense what it says. After he's dead, then he'll become weak, then he'll be vayigva, and then the ayoy. Can't be, he's already dead. So it means he has a process of dying. But the Mitzvah seems to say no. The Mitzvah says, I will gever kasher yomus. Maybe he means the same thing. As he dies, let's assume it's the same idea, and the process of dying. He will not return to his former state. And when he perishes, where is he? What happened to him? He will not return forever. Okay, back to, let's see, Rashi. Rashi says, no, Rashi, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Ozlu, now again, another mashal. The next mashal, Ozlu Mayim Mini Yom. Man is compared to water that flows from the sea. The water that's flowing from the sea, the water that you witness, you see in front of you, you'll never see again. Because that's the nature of water. If there's a flood, and water is overflowing from the sea, the water is going to spread into the land, and if you'll see water tomorrow, it will be new water. If you'll see water 5 minutes from now, it will be new water. The water that you see flowing today, you'll never ever see again. Man is compared to that water. The man you see today, you'll never see again, because he'll be gone and he'll never return. Ozlu, it passes, mayim, water passes, mini, from yom, kama. Another example, vinahar, like a river that yecherav, that dries up, v'yovesh, that two different words which mean the same thing, which dries up, the water that dries up from the river is never going to return again. If in the next season there'll be more water in this river, when it comes spring, after the winter, there'll be new water. It's not going to be the same old water. Man is just like that, these two different bodies of water. Pasuk Yudalef in the Mitzudos, David, Ozlu, Kimo, Asher Yelchu Lohem Hamayim Min Hayom, just like water flows from the sea, the Hanahar, Hanimshach Mimenu, and water that flows from a river, Halo Yechrav Yavesh, that water that flows dries up, Volo Yoshuvu Bo Hamayim Me'atzmo, and no more water flows, Bezulas Me'hayom, from besides the water of the sea.
The waters have to be fed by the waters of the sea. Everything else will dry up.
Everything will dry up. You need always need new, because the old is gone forever. And man is just like this type of water. Rashi, Ozlumayim Mineyom, Mimokoim Shenohorba, from the place where the river flows, the Yotze Mimukaro, Haba Me'elov, which comes by itself, Min Hayom, from the place where it flows, from the Hanahor, Haba Misham, and the river that comes from there, Yechrav Yavesh Lo'olam, Kain Ish Shachav Lo Yokum. Rashi is more explicit in comparing the waters of the sea and the waters of the river. Is just like this water, he will die and will never come back to life. Okay, pasuk now. Look at the. Okay, it's interesting. Targum. I don't really know the words. Maybe you can help me translate these words. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Azalu mo min yama desuf. Okay, he's comparing it to the hadaru leves kinishtoin. The Yurduna is negiv, the Yisyabesh Kodam Aroino da Hashem, the Hadar al Beis Partsi Dahoin. He's taking these two words here, referring to Kriyas Yamsuf and the Yardain of Yehoshua. When Klal Yishol came into Mitzrayim, and they came into Eretz Yisrael, the Yardain split. So he's telling us over here.
They dried up.
Azalu mo. What's the azalu mo min yamasuf? The water dried up from the yamasuf.
No, the water went from the yamasuf. Vahadru leves kinishtan went into its
storage place. The yurduna is negiv. The yisyabesh. The yardin dried up. Kodem before the aroin of the Hashem. The aroin of Hashem. Vahadaru al beis partsi dahoin. What does that mean? Okay, so I don't know when he's coming over here to connect the Kriyas Yamsuf and the breaking, the splitting of the Yardin to this pasuk.
I think it means the same thing as Kinishton, but I'm not familiar.
Kinishton.
It goes back to its storage place.
So what's the message? What is the Targum trying to? Okay, I'm not sure. Okay, let's go further. Let's go to Pasuk Yud Beis, V'ish Shochav, so he concludes his thought, V'ish Shochav, man dies, V'lo Yokum Ad Bilti Shamayim, forever. Man dies, and he will not rise up, Ad Bilti Shamayim, what? Ad Bilti
Shamayim,
Ad Bilti Shamayim, Lo Yokum, Bilti Shamayim, Jastro, dictionary. Alright, so now it concludes, man dies, V'lo yakum, he will not rise up at bilti shemaim forever. Okay, until the heavens will cease to exist. When will the heavens cease to exist? Never. The heavens are here, at least from our perspective, forever. Man will never come back into this world forever. Lo yakitsu, he will not wake up. V'lo yeoru, Mishinosam, he will not be aroused from his slumber. Different poetic expressions describing man will never come back to this world, in the least according to Eve's understanding. Pasuk Yud Beis in the Mitzvah Stav V'ish V'chein Kasher Yomos V'ish Lo Yakumot Ad Bilti Shamayim Ad Yivlu V'yufsudu Hashamayim, until the heavens will be worn out. When will the heavens be worn out? Never. So it means forever. Ratzaloyemar Ad Oilam. What? The pasuk that says the heavens will eventually be okay, but it means that he's giving a mashal. Yeah, we have to put ourselves in the mind of Eov. Eov looks at the heavens and he knows they're not going anywhere, at least in his lifetime. Time is relative. It's all matter of perspective. They will not wake up and they will not be aroused from their slumber. Eov is talking, he doesn't talk much about the neshama according to the interpretation of the Mitzudos David. Eov is saying it's over, it's one and the same. The neshama and the guf will not come back. Once man dies, it's over.
And
okay, we know we
and the neshama, we
have a different hashkafa, obviously. We are focusing on the frustration, the tsar of this poor man, Eov, who is suffering. And he, at this point, is in denial that there is Olam Haba, that there is Triyas HaMesim, and there's any purpose for his suffering. Baruch Hashem, we are brought up with a hashkaf that we understand that everything has a purpose, we just do not understand that purpose. That's the whole purpose of the Sefer, to reach that point where Eiv will be explained and taught this idea by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Or will at least come to this understanding on his own to some degree. But here, he is obviously in a great, very great pain, and he's venting his frustration, and he's telling Hashem why, the meaning of Hashem, to stop torturing him, because there's no purpose, and his death will serve as the punishment for any possible sin he could have committed, because there's nothing more after his death. He's going to die. There's not going to be Tchias HaMesim. Okay, let's see Pasuk Yud Gimel.
Eiv sees death as punishment. Is that correct?
Eiv sees what?
Death as punishment?
Yes. He said that yesterday.
A blanket punishment for everybody?
Yes. For everyone in the world.
There is no relative punishment.
But there's no relative... Right, that's a very... That's a very big... There's no relative... Right. It's not fair. Why do some people have good lives, some people have bad lives? That is not being addressed.
So how do you relate that back to when Kodesh Baruch Hu cursed Adam
HaRishon
and
he
kicked him out?
No, when we study Adam HaRishon, we study it from our Hashkafa, from the end of the Sefer. Where right now we're only in Perek Yudalad. Eiv is in a state where he's frustrated, he's grappling with the information. He doesn't understand why he is suffering, and he's saying things which are apikursis, pretty much.
But there's a question, I have a question.
Yeah.
If you say if it's not more than a mashu, you only die, that should be your punishment. Okay, so his kids died because they were punished, they died younger. That he suffers because they died, that is his.
He doesn't focus on that very much. He doesn't. You really find that where he complains about the agmas nefesh he has from the death of his children. It's a very strange thing. At least not yet. We haven't come across that. His children died, and in fact, when his children died, he didn't complain. The first time, the only time he complains, the physical suffering that he himself is enduring. Maybe that was a trigger. Once he was suffering physically, he now also was complaining about his children, and was also complaining about his lost wealth. But at least at face value, his focus is his physical suffering. That's the focus, not torture of his children. And you know, in modern times, you read all these novels and all these. The whole goal is to go and to kidnap, or the way you can force someone to do something is to go and hold their children or their relatives hostage. And you threaten them that if you're not going to do what I want, then I'm going to bring suffering upon your children. That's not the story here. Here his children are not around, they died already, what was, and his frustration is purely related to his own physical suffering.
But isn't it because Satan and Hashem tried, so to speak, and tried that the first time, and it didn't impact, so that Satan
went further.
He said it didn't have the impact. Let me go back.
Right, that's exactly the point. His physical suffering is the focus of his complaint. It's very clear. His personal physical suffering is what has triggered a bitter complaint against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not the suffering, it's not the death of his children, it's not the loss of his property, it's not their physical suffering, it's his own private physical suffering that has triggered all of these complaints and the dialogue between himself and his friends. Let's go to Pasuk Yud Gimel. Now he says something very powerful. He says, if there would only be Tchias HaMesim, I would basically, I would be very happy. Mi yitain, if only it can be, b'sheol, in the grave, tatspineni, tatstireni. You have two words which really mean the same thing. You would shield me, you would shelter me. You would shelter me temporarily in the grave, atshuv apecha, until your anger would subside, toshes lichok, you would set for me a time, and I'll wait it out patiently in the grave, v'siskereni, and then you will remember me, and you'll bring me back to life, and I'll be happy. Now let's elaborate upon that a little bit more by reading the mitzvah of this pasuk of Gimel. Li'itein, Ratzaloyma. This is a very complicated pasuk. This means to say, if it would really be, Eve is now coming around to the realization, you know something? Maybe there is a purpose for my suffering. Maybe indeed there is Tchiyas HaMeisim. If only it would be true, such a possibility. Can you imagine if he would find out that it is true, how much simcha he would have? But if it only would be true, then my request of you, Hashem, would be, and if only you would grant me the following request, shetasti reini b'sheol, you shall shelter me in the grave, ad yoshev apecha, until your anger would subside me many, v'tasim lichok, and you would set for me a time. Chok means a set time. Mosai yoshev apecha mimeni, when your anger would subside, 10 years, 1,000 years, 500 years, 200 years, a limit. V'os, and when that time comes, tazkireni lehaytzieni misham lichyos al pi ho adam al pnei ho adam, to come back to life. I'm willing to wait. If that's what it's all about, that there will be tchiyas hameisim, and then you will, and after your anger subsides, I'll come back and I'll be a happy person. I'm willing to wait it out. But just let me know. Tell me there's going to be tchiyas hameisim.
Why didn't you assume that from the first place?
He had no reason to assume so. If a person does not have the Torah, if we don't have Moshe Rabbeinu who has given us the Torah, and the Nedim who have taught us that is tchiyas hameisim, why would a rational person believe this tchiyas hameisim?
I don't even think he believes it now.
Right.
It's a rhetorical question.
Right. This is a thought process.
What theoretically thought the first time? You can't conceptualize anything that never, you know, that nobody ever talks about. So obviously other people he heard other people speak about it.
Well, maybe not. Maybe he's coming to this realization. It has to be. Maybe he looks at a tree, he looks
at
himself.
Very tough concept. All you ever see is reality. What a human, the frame of reference is, people, they die and they get buried. And that's the end of it.
I think he's saying what he'd like to see,
right,
rather than what he believes in.
Yeah, but how could he even conceptualize that idea?
I'd like to see human imagination.
He's trying to explain Hashem's action. He's grappling with, why am I suffering? You go through all these things, and
you
say, maybe there's something that I don't know about, and he's putting it out there in his own mind. And he's
without afterlife, why should you be good?
No, I understand. I'm not arguing that point.
So he was good for 70 years. Did he say, I'm being good because I expect a reward?
Where did that come to mind? There is an afterlife. Obviously, there was conversation that there is an afterlife somehow, from somewhere.
I don't know.
You can't just make it up on your own.
Why not?
Nobody's ever going to.
Why can't he do that?
You have to have some kind of
reference book. I don't know, all sorts of things.
It's a tough idea to think of on your own
imagination.
Okay, let's go further. Let's go to Pasik Yud Dalet. Im Yamos Kever, if man dies, Hayichye. Okay, again he makes the point that it's not going to happen. It's not possible for a man to come back to life. If a man dies, will he come back to life? Kol yimei tzivoi ayachel, all the days of my time. We had this before a few broken back. The word tzivo means time. In some places it means, we always translate the word tzva, means a host, a collection of items, a set. But it also has another meaning, means zman, time. Time also is an orderly set of moments. Kol yimei tzva'i, all of the days of my time in this world, ayachel, I yearn for life. Ad bo chalifasi, until my death. In other words, he's saying over here, is that since I know that it's impossible for there to be tchiyas hameisim, I cherish and savor every moment of my life. I know I'm not coming back, I'm not going to return to this world. My days are numbered. My biological clock is ticking. So whatever I have now, I'll never come back to me. Therefore, I yearn to enjoy every moment of this lifetime until my time of passing from the world comes.
Is he rejecting
Pasuk
Yud Gimel thoughts?
No, he's Pasuk Yud Gimel. He's saying exactly the same thing. Halavai, I wish it would be so. Mi yitain, if only it would be so. But I know it's not so. I believe firmly that there is no Trias HaMesim. And because there is no Trias HaMesim, I want to enjoy my life. And Hashem, you're preventing me from enjoying my life by torturing me. That's what he's saying. If someone would tell me there's something called Trias HaMesim, that would be a game changer. Then maybe I can look at my suffering as a preparation for my renewal in this world at the time of Trias HaMesim. But that's impossible. There's no such thing as Trias HaMesim. Is a person a tree? A tree has Trias HaMesim. A person's not a tree. There is no Trias HaMesim. So whatever I got, I want to enjoy because I'm not coming back. So why are you, Hashem, torturing me for something that I have not done? Let's take a look at the Pasuk Yudalim Sudos. No, that's not a problem. We, Baruch Hashem, you've been trained from your earliest youth, and we're all b'nei bonim of Avraham Avinu, b'nei Yishol Maminim, b'nei Maminim, that there is something called Trias HaMesim. But
don't all religions who believe in God?
I don't know all religions. I don't know. I really don't know. In any religion that believes in Trias HaMesim, there's no question has been influenced by Yadus. I mean, all other religions, without question, have major. They've been influenced by Yadus. So I don't know what other religions believe. I have no idea. But this is
the Egyptians for certain believe.
They believe in Trias HaMesim?
That's the whole point.
That's why they buried the kings
The mummies.
Not necessarily. I don't know. Okay, I don't know.
Yeah, sure. They have a daughter.
Okay, but he's very clearly saying here that he's not going to live. That's at least what he says in this pasuk. Pasuk Yudal Mitzudos Tavit. Im Yamos Avol Ein Ze Efsharis. Exactly what you said. It's a complete rejection. Pasuk Yud Gimel was just an hypothesis. Maybe it's possible this Trias HaMesim that can explain why I'm suffering. It's impossible. It's nonsense. There's no way a rational person would believe this Trias HaMesim. Avol Ein Ze Efsharis Ki Asher Yamos Oish Im Yachse V'Yichye. Impossible. Ach, therefore, kol yimei hazman hanitan li. Therefore, since there is no Trias HaMesim, I want to enjoy what I got on this world. I want to enjoy the few moments I got on this world. Hanitan li that are given to me. Akave, I desire li hishoer chai, to remain alive. Ad bo until it comes. Ace chalifasi, the time that I pass. The word chalifasi is a very delicate word to describe death. When a person dies, he passes from the world. He passed away. What? This is my experience used differently. There's my exchange. That's used in different context. It's not
surrogate.
But here it means look at the Mitzudos Sinait. In this context, Chalifasi Inyan Havara Min Olam, death. It's just a nice way to describe death. V'chein Im, he brings another pasuk. Im Yachlif Yaskir, we had that before. I'm going to pass from this world. So we'll read the pasuk again. Pasuk again. We'll Yudal one more time. Im Yamos Gever, if man dies, Hayichye, will he live again? Question mark. Rhetorical question. Of course not. Therefore, therefore, kol yimei tzivoi, all the time that I have in this world, two words together mean the collection of days that I have in this world, ayachel, I look forward to, I yearn to enjoy, to savor. Ad, how long will I be able to enjoy my existence? Ad bo, until it arrives, chalifasi, the time for me to pass from this world. And you, Hashem, are getting in the way. You're getting in the way by torturing me and requiring me to be bedridden.
I want to go back to Yud Gimel for a second.
Yeah.
He's not denying Trias HaMesim. We're saying, I have a solution. If there would be a default mechanism, like knock me out from life, and put me into limbo, whatever you want to call it, and then later give me back life.
Okay, you're saying Yerom Shat. That's not what it says in the Mitzudas.
He's not saying he's, we understand Trias HaMesim.
with a din of char.
I don't know. Listen, I don't know what it is. We don't know what it is. We don't know what Chiyas HaMeisim is. We don't know.
Such a thing of a place other than that, so put me there and then give me back to life.
Okay, you say you're on shot.
No, that's exactly what I mean.
The Mitzudas in Pasuk Yud Gimel very clearly says he's denying Chiyas HaMeisim. Look at Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Rots Alaymar, Im Hoya Meo Evsha Lahachayos Achar Hamisa. A possibility to come back. To come back.
If there was another state to live, he has to die.
So there is death. It means if it was possible. You're playing with words.
But he doesn't tell you what happens when you die. What happens when you die?
We don't know.
No, you get it.
He's not addressing that. He's not addressing the Olam HaNeshamos. He's never addressing, at least according to the Mitzvahs, what happens in the Olam HaNeshamos. He's addressing the Chiyas HaMeisim.
Until you call me back.
He doesn't say that.
What is Sha'il?
The grave. Grave.
Right.
That doesn't mean Gehenna. It means the grave. Okay, you're saying a different shot. The Mitzvahs very clearly here is saying that if there would be something called Chiyas HaMeisim, then maybe we could negotiate, and maybe there's something to it. I can understand why I'm suffering. I'm suffering in preparation for the next coming, for my return, for my day.
No, he's not saying that at all.
Yeah.
No, he's not. He's saying, you know, if the solution is, you know, you want me to torture me, knock me out, let me be knocked out, and then come back later when you come down. No,
alive?
It doesn't make a difference. God can create you, so bring me back later.
It's like cryogenic.
It's like that.
Alright, let's go further. One Rashi. All the days I will learn l'schia. Now, I'm not sure if Rashi is saying the same thing as them. It could be that Rashi is saying that the Pasuk Yudal is a continuation. It could be that Rashi learns that Pasuk Yudgimel, he's coming to the... There's a possibility. Wow, you know what? You know what? Maybe it'll be Chiyas HaMeisim. And it'll be Chiyas HaMeisim, so let me die now, quickly, and not suffer. And Hashem's anger will subside over the next 100, 200, 300 years. And then he'll bring me back to life, and I'll have a good life. It's a continuation. Im yamos gever, if only... I think Rashi means like this. If a person can die, then hayichye... And then live again. Then kol yimei tzivi'i means all the days that I'm dead. Like in all of that time, I'm just guessing, this is the pshat, all the time that the neshama is in the olam ha-neshamos, ayachel, I will yearn for the Chiyas HaMeisim. When my neshama is in limbo, in the olam ha-neshamos, it will await Ayachel, the time, Adbo, Chalifasi, my return.
I'm not sure.
You see, Chalifasi, according to the Mitzudas, means my death. According to the Mitzudas, it's a rhetorical question. Im Yamaskev, Yechiev, man will die, will he come back to life? Of course not. Therefore, I'm not coming back. I want to live. I want to enjoy life. Kol Yimei Tzivoi Ayachel, Adbo until Chalifasi, until my death comes. But Rashi is saying, Faket. Rashi is saying is, listen, I can't take this life anymore, so Taka, let me die. I'll die now. And I'll go to the Olam HaNeshamos. And the Olam HaNeshamos, I'll wait. I'll wait it out until Hashem's anger subsides. And then I'll come back. And during that waiting period, I'll just yearn for that moment in time when I can return. Well, so we'll read the passage again. But Rashi seems to say, L'tchia, there's a one, that one Rashi, that single word in Rashi, Kol Yimei Tzivi, all the days of my time, I will yearn L'tchia for life. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but it could be while he's living.
That's what the Mitzvah says. Okay, that's the Mitzvah, because it doesn't fit. It doesn't fit either way. It doesn't fit either way. It's a hard sell either way. But okay, two different ideas of what the pasuk can possibly mean.
Olam Neshamos, what does that mean?
We don't know what that means. No one ever came back to tell us what's going on there. At least not that we know of.
No emails.
No emails.
Wasn't the Gemara talk about certain individuals?
Only speculatively.
Yeah.
Didn't the Gemara talk about, I think it was Shubha Levi or one of them came back?
That was the one.
Yeah, after you can't bring a raya from Divrei Agada. Okay, yeah, we always says Ligmar, you have to be very careful to learn about the Ulam HaNeshamas from what it says in the Gemara. You have to. Okay, let's stop here.